Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wild on the road, Predators in Nashville tonight. And pleased to be joined by Jess Myers of the Pioneer Press and his work online at TwinCities.com. Jess, good to visit with you. I understand they're not thrilled with the weather in Nashville today. It's not nearly as cold as home, but by their standards, ugly weather.
A little rain on Lower Broadway last night when I was walking around catching a little country music live, like there's so many options for here in Music City. I will say, despite the kind of cloudy, gloomy weather, number one, you can go out with pretty much just a sweatshirt and a vest on or something like that. It's not really even jacket weather. And number two, and I think this is pretty par for the course here in a tourist destination like Nashville, much like last weekend when I was in Las Vegas, Minnesota Wild fans everywhere here. Kind of fun to see how many folks get on a plane or make the 12-hour drive down here and travel and catch some music and catch a hockey game. Kind of fun.
Yeah, it is a great town, Nashville, Tennessee. Just rave reviews from everybody that have been there. Huge bachelorette party town, I guess.
Yes, yes. And, you see that all over the place. You see the pedal pubs and the trailers and the party buses and all of that kind of stuff here as well. You know, it's amazing. I'm at just a kind of an average hotel here in downtown Nashville. Ran into some friends of mine from Invergrove Heights this morning at breakfast. Didn't even know they were in town. And, just kind of neat to see the people who want a little bit of a getaway. And you're right, the weather's not perfect, but it's certainly not below zero or anything like that, which is the case back home. And that's what it looks like it's going to be like in Colorado tomorrow and Monday when the Wild go there next.
Yeah, and by the way, the Wild, in a bit of a skid, they've dropped 3 of 4, including a home decision to the Oilers on Wednesday night. And before we dwell on that, there is some good news that some injured players are returning to the fold.
Yeah, we're getting at least 2 injured guys back today. Number one, Brock Faber, coming back from that upper body injury. First time in his career as a pro, and I don't remember him missing any games as a collegian. First time he'd ever missed time. He missed the last 4 games with that upper body ailment, but he's back in the fold tonight. And then Jacob Lauko, a good, solid offensive player who has missed just a ton of games this season. He's finally back in, giving them a little bit more of some options up top, which is a nice, kind of thing for them to have. And then they made an addition. They brought up Liam Ogren, the number one first-round draft pick from 2022. He's played, I want to say, 8 games in a Wild uniform this season without a point. They're moving him up to the second line now with Marcus Johansson getting elbowed in the head by Connor McDavid, and he won't be available. They put Johansson on the injured reserve list already. So needing someone to take his spot, they're bringing up Liam Ogren, giving him, I think, a real opportunity to start kind of building some confidence at the NHL level, and that'll be important too.
Jess Myers joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. He's in Music City. It'll be the Wild and the Predators tonight. When I first saw this, I thought, oh, no. Kirill Kaprizov, his status changed but they made it retroactive, so he is still on track to return at some point. But when I first saw that, and I'm sure a lot of Wild fans had that reaction, all right, he's going to be out for another month or two, but it's almost kind of an accounting thing with the league, if you will. Take us through that decision to put him on, what was it, long-term injured reserve?
They put him on long-term injured reserve retroactive to the day first left the lineup. So December 23rd was the last time he played a game. It's mostly an accounting move, you know, and they're the Wild being so right up against the salary cap like they are. Bill Guerin and his staff do some amazing things with numbers to make sure that they have enough money to fill out a full roster on an every night basis. So it's mostly an accounting kind of move. Kirill Kaprizov is eligible as of today to return to the lineup whenever they feel he is healthy enough. He's not quite there yet. But I'm with you, Steve. Right after Christmas, I was in Dallas when we found out he didn't make the trip down there, and they said it's a minor thing. It's day-to-day. Well, as of this week, we're looking at almost a month now of a day-to-day injury. So it's obviously a little more nagging or a little more long-term than they suspected. I don't think there are any plans to shut him down like some people are fearing, although as we get closer and closer to that Four Nations break, which is coming in early February, and you know Russian players are not participating in Four Nations, so that will essentially be a two-week off break for any of the Russian players. Now I'm hearing some folks starting to express some fear that, well, maybe they'll just wait until after Four Nations for him to come back. I don't think that's the case. I think whenever he's ready, he's going to be back in the lineup. They just don't feel that he's quite there yet.
But he was so good prior to the injury. I mean, one of the top three, four guys in the league.
Absolutely. He was legitimately in the conversation for MVP of this league and still might be, you know, if he comes back at the pace that he was on. You know, you look at Alex Ovechkin, who had to take a couple weeks off or maybe more than a month off because of a broken bone, and he's come back just as solid as he was. And by the way, a little bit of a teaser. We were talking about this with some USA Hockey folks I saw last night. Alex Ovechkin now needs 21 goals to break Wayne Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring record. 25 games from now, the Washington Capitals play in Minnesota versus the Minnesota Wild. Oh. So, just planting the seed. If the numbers work out right, that could be a pretty big night at XL Energy Center.
Yeah, for sure. There's no worry, though, Gretzky fans, that he'll ever get to the all-time points. You look at the number of assists Gretzky logged in his career, I don't think Ovechkin's getting anywhere near that.
No, I think that record is one of those that they say is untouchable, especially in the modern NHL when offense is so much harder to come by, it seems like.
Yeah, for sure. Kind of like DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak. I mean, there's just some in sports, and Gretzky's assist record appears to be safe. For the Wild, though, let's kind of get back to that storyline. They have dropped three of four, and they've been doing it with a lot of injured players and a lot of key players on the shelf. Is it finally catching up to the Wild right now?
I think you could make that argument just in the simple fact of the way they've lost the last two games. Having a lead in those games or being tied going into the third period and then seeing the game slip away in both cases against Edmonton and then against Vegas last Sunday. That was really the case. And, you know, it's easy to say, man, they're just running out of gas. They just don't have the bodies to keep up, especially in the third period. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. They have had some struggles in goal. Let's call it what it is. You know, the one win they've gotten recently, Marc-Andre Fleury played brilliantly in San Jose. They got a win against a Sharks team, which has had its struggles this year. Fleury will be in net tonight, and not necessarily a coach's decision. They've had a run of illness go through their locker room. And Philippe Gustafsson has come down with the illness, and so the plan is to start Fleury tonight, and then they don't know if he will be ready to go, if Gustafsson will be ready to go in a backup role. So they actually made an emergency call-up of Dylan Ferguson, who's going to be available to be the backup if Gustafsson is not able to go tonight. We'll find that out once warm-ups start. But just another challenge on the transaction wire for this team, where it seems like every day we've got an injury or an illness to deal with in some form.
Yeah, and by the way, get on a plane tonight, head for Denver, and then play a matinee on Monday, MLK Day, in Denver against the Colorado Avalanche, and that's never easy with their skill.
No, and, you know, Colorado's a team that that just beat the Wild a couple days ago, I want to say, in Minnesota. A good division rival, some great games between the two teams. So that will be interesting to see. I was thinking about Colorado today, as a matter of fact, talking to Andrew Brunette, head coach of the Nashville Predators, still the owner of, I would say, the biggest goal in the history of the Minnesota Wild franchise when he scored against Colorado in the playoffs in 2003, Game 7 overtime, beating Patrick Waugh, the final shot that Patrick Waugh ever faced, and it went in the net courtesy of Andrew Brunette. So kind of fun to bring back those memories of the early days of this franchise, too.
And I still remember the Bob Kurtz call like it was yesterday. What a great call by the legend Bob Kurtz on that goal.
Yeah, you talk about, the third or the fourth year of the Minnesota Wild.
Right.
Absolutely no expectations going into that that playoff series with Colorado. This was a very good Avalanche team that had won the Stanley Cup just a couple years earlier. And lo and behold, you know, Colorado takes a 3-1 lead in the series. Minnesota storms back. They get a win in Colorado. They win in overtime in Game 6 in Minnesota. And then here we are in overtime in Game 7, and Andrew Brunette, of all people, charges right to the net and stuffs one past Y, and the Wild move on. Just a fantastic sports memory in Minnesota.
Yeah, and by the way, way back in the day, the games were here. A News Talk 830 WCCO. Quick update on the U. They sweep the weekend series with Minnesota State at Ritter 8-3 on Friday, and then win on the road in a matinee in Mankato 5-2 today. And the Golden Gopher men, Jess, I know you keep a close eye on that and cover when you can. They had a big win, big first period, and a win on Friday night.
And like they do so often this season, gave up the first goal and then came storming back. This is kind of a fun story in Notre Dame coming to town. You know, this isn't a great Notre Dame team by any stretch of the imagination, but Jeff Jackson, the longtime Notre Dame coach who's won a couple of national titles in his career when he was at Lake Superior State, he's hanging it up at the end of this season. He made that clear last summer, you know. And he's not a guy that loves farewell tours, but I wrote about this in the Pioneer Press this week. You got to wonder if he's going to make a trip up to Maple Grove or to Edina or to some of these places where he's managed to find just some fantastic Minnesota players and recruited him to Notre Dame during his career. And he talked about that a little bit this week, that, you know, the values he sees in Minnesota kids and their, you know, their value of education and in many cases their value of their faith makes them a perfect fit for Notre Dame. So he's got, I think, three of his top four scorers right now are Minnesota kids, and that's always kind of a fun storyline when they come back home wearing the blue and gold there for Notre Dame.
And by the way, they'll drop the puck at 3M Arena at Mariucci at 5. So hockey fans, you can watch almost 100% of that game before they drop the puck down in Nashville tonight. Hey, Jazz, look forward to your coverage in the Pioneer Press and online at TwinCities.com.
Thanks, Steve. Always great to talk hockey.
All right, there he is, Jess Myers, covers the Wild for the Pioneer Press. Once again, they take on the Predators tonight. When we come back, we'll have an update on a very chilly forecast. Things will warm up later in the week, just in time for Twins Fest at Target Field. By the way, we'll be live at Target Field next Saturday between 11 and 5. Twins President, CEO Dave St. Peter joins us. We'll preview the Winter Caravan, Twins Fest, and more here on News Talk 830 WCCO.